7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with the NFC South, and we are breaking down the New Orleans Saints. And
it's Nolens.
Nolens? The Nolens?
I believe it's pronounced Nolens.
What kind of stupid sound effect do you have for this one? You got anything? Wow. That's something.
It was either that or the sounds of rain and waves crashing. I don't know.
Again, guys, we are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Team. You guys can email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. You guys can also check us out on our website, ponycakesports.com. And then also check out our buddy's website, cleatgeeks.com, and hit them up on Twitter, at cleatgeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles on baseball, football, a little bit of everything. And they put our podcast on their site. So hit them up on Twitter. Let them know that we're the ones that sent you.
And they pay us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right. So do that and, yeah, be awesome. Let's talk about the Saints. Again, they finished 7-9 last year, scored 469 points. That was exactly 100 points more than the Carolina Panthers.
Kind of insane.
Yeah, that was, and only one win more. And it's actually kind of funny if you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they actually finished two losses more and finished more than 100 points than Tampa Bay, and they had two more wins. That's pretty crazy to think of.
So what happens when you have the 32nd ranked pass defense in the NFL?
Very true. So let's go talk about some of the guys in free agency that they lost. Tim Hightower was one of the guys. They ended up leaving the team. He went to the San Francisco 49ers. I thought Tim Hightower played very well for the New Orleans Saints last year. Jahri Evans, he went to the Green Bay Packers, guard, 1-year deal, and that was pretty much it. There wasn't a lot of stuff going on in free agency that they let go. Some of the guys that they acquired in free agency, and I'm actually kind of shocked that they held all these guys in check. Like, there was... I'm shocked that's all they had for free agency leaving. I thought there would have been a couple more guys. But regardless, some of the guys that they acquired via free agency. Larry Walford. Let's go. Guard coming over from the Detroit Lions. 4-year deal. Nick Fairley re-signs with the team. 4-year deal there. AJ Klein coming from the Carolina Panthers. 4-year deal. Oh, what do you know? Another Carolina Panther, Ted Ginn Jr. coming in there, 3-year deal. Very underrated signing that I thought. If you guys listened to the Carolina Panthers episode, we talked about how I thought that was a pretty big loss on their end. And him going to the New Orleans Saints, I thought that was pretty decent. Adrian Peterson coming over from the Minnesota Vikings on a 2-year deal. Manti Te'o, he comes over from the Chargers. Yes, he still does not have a girlfriend. 2-year deal on that one.
Dick move, bro.
Come on.
That was a low blow.
Really?
Way too soon.
You're talking
too
about soon. Wind and water.
There's a rule. If it's over 10 years, you're allowed to make jokes about it.
My lord.
Manti Te'o's fake girlfriend is not over 10 years.
Clay Harbor, he comes over from the Lions.
He's
1-year
still hurt
deal there.
Emotionally.
Chase Daniel coming over from the Eagles, coming back to the New Orleans Saints. Couple other guys. Cadet. He ends up re-signing there. And, yeah, a couple other guys, but those are pretty much the main ones.
I liked a lot of the signings that the Saints had. Like, the Larry Warford pick or signing was big time for them. They need that protection in the middle for Drew Brees. Not the biggest quarterback in the world. He needs the interior part of his O-line to be there, to be secure, and not let the inside rush get to him. I think the Adrian Peterson pickup is huge as well. We'll see how much gas he has left in the tank, but I'm a believer. I think he's going to come out and lead that team in rushing this year. Mark Ingram's a little crybaby. I think AP's going to show him that he's the lead dog in that running back
group. I just want to tell you, if you Google New Orleans Saints additions It comes up something from Pinterest that's not anything that we want to talk about, so I just want to let you guys know that. With that being said, the Ted Ginn Jr. edition, to me, is by far, Josh, you touched on it, the biggest addition. The AP will be good. I feel like him and Mark Ingram can figure things out together. I think, if anything, his addition helps Mark Ingram become a grown-ass man, finally. I think AP can teach him how to be a running back in the National Football League. But I believe that Ted Ginn Jr. is going to be able to come out there and fill the Brandon Cooks role immediately. I feel like Brandon Cooks' position was better than his actual talent, where he was on that team. And I feel like Ted Ginn Jr. is going to show that.
Interesting. I think the Clay Harbor addition was actually pretty a pretty good addition as well. He did pretty decent last year and very... I guess a sneaky pickup, and then getting Chase Daniel back, having him as insurance for Drew Brees, I thought that was very good as well.
Both smart pickups.
Yeah. Talking about some of the guys in free agency and some of the other additions, best move for the Saints, offseason-wise?
I'm going to go with the Larry Warford pick. God, I can't say that freaking name.
I'm going to go Ted Ginn Jr., stealing him away from a division rival and replacing a someone who was such a valuable asset for your team.
I think re-signing Nick Fairley was a very smart move on their part.
He might not even play, though.
Yeah, but if he is, then not bad.
Yeah, that heart condition is no joke. That kind of sucks. I think he's getting his third opinion now.
Yes.
One doctor said he can't play or wouldn't suggest play. The other said he's fine. So we'll see what that's a big-time deal for the Saints.
As Tom mentioned, it is no joke, Josh. In 10 years, it potentially can be a joke, but until then, it is not.
My thing is, though, if he is medically declared he cannot play, does he miss out on that four-year contract then that he did sign?
Depends what provisions they had in there, probably. I don't know.
I'm not really sure, because he's had this heart condition since he got in the NFL. That was why he dropped in the NFL draft originally, but some doctors cleared him, so he was able to play. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints had something in that contract saying that if he cannot play football any longer, he ain't getting shit.
I feel like NFL teams should probably have, like, hey, if your heart has some crazy thing, then we're probably not going to pay you money.
Moving on to some other guys that can make an impact, the draft.
It isn't too often that a clear-cut number one cornerback falls outside of the top 10 in the NFL draft. Saints got tremendous value with their selection of Marshon Lattimore from Ohio State. On film, Lattimore was by far the best cornerback in this class, in my opinion. He's got elite-level athleticism. He's got elite traits. And that combination makes him a true future lockdown cornerback in my eyes. He's got the best hips and feet in this class. Great at mirroring wide receivers in their routes. Unbelievable closing speed. The only reason Lattimore dropped, in my opinion, to, I believe, pick 11 was because of his issues staying healthy. He's had lingering hamstring issues that made him miss a total of 21 games in his 3 years at Ohio State. Kind of a big deal. I pray this kid could stay healthy. The Saints have needed a lockdown corner, especially with all the weapons in the NFC South right now. If this kid could stay healthy, he has a chance to be the best player in this draft class.
I'm going to wait until Tom evaluates the next pick for the Saints before I give my full evaluation. I will just leave it as I like the pick of Marshon Lattimore.
Yeah, I like the pick of Marshon Lattimore as well. With him falling outside of what we thought, the top six, right? It was a foregone conclusion. He was a lock to be a top six guy. Even having him going as high as pick number two before the Bears made that debacle of a trade.
Here we go.
But, you know, it is what it is. Falling down to 11, I think. I just think that the Saints got a steal right there.
Due to the trading of Brandon Cooks, the New England Patriots, the Saints had another first-round pick. With their second first-round pick of the 2017 draft, they selected offensive tackle Ryan Ramczyk from Wisconsin. Ramczyk has that ideal size to play tackle in the league, 6'6", over 300 pounds. He kind of came out of nowhere this season, was a smaller school kid. I don't believe he played his first year of college eligibility because he wanted to be a welder. But he came out of nowhere and held down the left tackle spot for the Badgers. Plays really mean and aggressive. Ideally, this kid will be the right tackle of the future for the Saints. If it wasn't for his hip surgery, I think Ramczyk would have been the first O-lineman taken in this draft class. I think the Saints got lucky with this pick, especially with Teron Armstead likely to miss 4 to 6 months. He's their starting left tackle. So Ramchek's going to see playing time early, I think.
The New Orleans Saints won day one of the NFL draft. By far. No doubt about it. Obviously, having two picks on the first day helps quite a bit. But there are no other teams that, number one, addressed multiple needs with two of the top two guys at the position that they needed. It is stunning. Going back to the Lattimore pick, which I kind of passed over before, it's absolutely outrageous that he's not a top 10 pick. The Saints could not have run that pick up fast enough that Marshon Lattimore fell to them. His injury concerns honestly don't matter because he is that talented that if he is healthy, the Saints got a steal. That he could very well could have been a top 5 pick. And you talk about Ryan Ramczyk, listen, there was not a ton of talent here at the offensive line position, but Ryan Ramczyk was one of two guys who should have been considered for the first round, and he gets that opportunity. The Saints are able to improve their back end on the defensive side of the ball dramatically and improve their upfront presence to protect Drew Brees dramatically with these two draft picks. New Orleans Saints, I thought after day one you were going to win the 2017 NFL draft. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I just with Ramczyk, you don't know with where he's going to play. Is he going to play right tackle? Is he going to play left tackle now that Armstead's out? Are they going to move Pete over from guard and then have Ramczyk slide in at guard? There's so many questions with this offensive line, especially with the loss of who's their center, Unger as well.
Yep.
There's just so many questions with this offensive line. I don't know what to even expect out of this running game or the rest of the Saints team, because the offensive line, you need to make sure it's all shore up.
Josh, let me ask you, if the New Orleans Saints did not take a Ryan Ramczyk at this spot and their left tackle went down, who do you think would have been filling in for them? Let me answer that question for you. It would have been a practice squad player. It would have been someone who, a journeyman of the NFL, someone who would have gone out there and been continually beat for nothing whatsoever. Ryan Ramczyk is going to go out there. He might get his ass kicked at times, but he's going to get invaluable experience, and it's going to be great for the New Orleans Saints. Do they want their left tackle to go down before the season starts?
No.
Absolutely not. They do not. But with that being said, by the time he comes back, Ryan Ramczyk is going to have been beat, broken, and rebuilt back to the offensive lineman that he has the potential to be for the next 10 years for the New Orleans Saints. I agree with you to an extent, but this is a phenomenal pick by the New Orleans Saints.
They got lucky that they made this pick is what happened.
Well, I mean, get lucky. Everyone's lucky with the picks that they're lucky that Lattimore fell to 11. The Bears are lucky they traded up to 2. Never mind. That was a joke, guys.
The Saints had the 32nd ranked pass defense in the league last season. For people like Tim, that's last in the league, and it's not very good. The NFC South is stacked and probably has the best group of quarterbacks in the NFL for any division, top to bottom. Saints doubled down trying to fix their secondary with the selection of free safety Marcus Williams from Utah. He's got very good size for the safety, 6'1", 202 pounds. He's an effective ball hawk. That's why they're drafting him. 10 interceptions over the last two seasons. He's going to have that ability to play center field for the Saints, kind of a poor man's version of Malik Hooker in my eyes. I think he was my second-ranked free safety in this draft class, but another good addition to a pretty good safety unit that they have right now with Kenny Vaccaro and Von Bell.
Tom, you, for number one, it's not very often you make me laugh. That was a good joke. I like that quite a bit. I love another pick that I love by the New Orleans Saints. Listen, taking a Marcus Williams. You mentioned Malik Hooker. getting two guys in the secondary that you can have grow together. There's going to be a lot of growing pains for them, specifically this year. But with the size of Williams, with having a top talent in Marshawn Lattimore in front of them, those two working hand in hand together, that's what you want. You want to have, you build from the ground up. They essentially just blocked off half of the field by those first two of those first three picks in the NFL draft. I love the pick. Like you said, he was a little, not many people thought they were going there. They still have Jarius Byrd and they still have Von Bell, but you mentioned the ball hawking. That is exactly Malik Hooker. It's almost like they envisioned the Ohio State secondary when they drafted Marcus Williams.
Well, regardless, the newer Saints secondary was terrible, and they had the worst pass defense in the NFL. So they had to do something. Getting Marcus Lattimore, and then now getting him, you just have to keep adding pieces to the puzzle.
Saints had one of the best offense in the league last season. In all honesty, they've had one of the best offenses in the league since Drew Brees has shown up to town. Their offense added a new weapon with the selection of Alvin Kamara from Tennessee in the third round. Josh is shaking his head, making fart noises, but I love this pick. Kamara's going to be put into that Reggie Bush and Darren Sproles role. And that's back in the day when they had those types of running backs along with guys who could carry the ball 15 to 20 times a game. That's when we've seen the Saints at their best. He doesn't have that elite speed like Bush or Sproles, but he's a very good athlete, very explosive, really powerful lower body, very good balance. He's got that wiggle. He's got those moves. He's a very elusive runner. Never carried the football over 20 times at Tennessee, though. He's not going to be that bell cow running back, but he's not going to need to be that in the Sean Payton system. But I think this pick is going to help this offense succeed big time.
Tom, I would have been okay with this pick if it was just a pick. I would have been okay with this pick if they would have just given up a seventh rounder to move up and get this. They gave up a second round pick in 2018. I'm not a farty noise coffee McGee like Josh when talking about Alvin Kamara. I like Alvin Kamara, but with that being said, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. It's like they had a plan going into this draft, and Alvin Kamara was still there later than they thought he would be, and they kind of panicked and gave away too much. I to be perfectly honest, I don't get it. I like what they did with the rest of the third round, which you'll get to in a minute, but they could have continued to build that defense as much as it's a copycat league, like we talked about with the Panthers yesterday. The Saints had a plan. They had a foolproof plan. We're going to build our defense, and we're going to build our offensive line going into this draft. And take a look. What doesn't fit that plan? Alvin Kamara. They panicked. The guy that they loved was still there, and they ran with it. This is the only pick. If the New Orleans Saints did not make this pick, this would have been the New Orleans Saints would have gotten my first A grade of the season.
I hate Alvin Kamara.
Josh, serious question. Who do you hate more, Alvin Kamara or me?
It's pretty close. but yeah, I just don't see it. I don't understand why they did it. They have Travaris Cadet, which is essentially the same player as Alvin Kamara. They're pass catchers out of the backfield. They don't run the ball a lot. They're essentially the same player. And you added Adrian Peterson in the offseason. I did not understand the pick. I don't get it. I won't get it. And I don't think he's that good.
The best we've seen the Saints offense, though, is when they have a three-headed monster at the running back spot. Look, when they had the Pierre Thomas, Mark Ingram, Darren Sproles, that offense was unbelievable. They're trying to recreate that right now. And yeah, they gave up a second-round pick to get this guy, but they're in win-now mode. Drew Brees is not a young player. He's getting old, and I really think they're trying to win now, and they have the capabilities to do that.
Tom, how many Super Bowl teams do you know of that have had a three-headed monster?
Like 10?
who at running back? What three-headed monster?
New England Patriots last year.
But no, they weren't three-headed monsters by any means. How are they three-headed monsters? They didn't have three running backs that you were scared of at any point. It's not what you are portraying the New Orleans Saints to be.
The Patriots last year had three running backs that did different things, and they were all effective at what they were asked to do, and that's what the Saints are trying to recreate right now.
Tom, listen, I don't know why you're stroking the Nolan Saints bandwagon at fans right now, but you're out of your fucking mind. There's never been a three-headed monster at running back specifically. You've seen thunder and lightning. You have not ever seen a Mark Ingram and AP style, same style, dominant through the tackle running back with a pass catching running back out of the backfield that has worked with all three running backs clicking on all cylinders and be successful. And that's what takes them. Someone's going to have to take a step back for this to work.
Look at the season with Pierre Thomas, Mark Ingram, and Sproles. I believe all three finished in the top 34 at running back fantasy-wise. So they're all pretty productive. All had their weeks that they were startable. It is possible. And like the Patriots last year, they had quite a few running backs. They do that every year. LeGarrette Blount had that physical role. James White was catching footballs out of the backfield. Deion Lewis was hurt a lot, but when he was playing, he was productive as well.
It was LeGarrette Blount, and it was the other guys. It was never a three-headed monster. It was LeGarrette. You're calling the New England Patriots last year a three-headed monster?
Yes.
Fuck you, then. Because you're lying to yourself. You're just lying to yourself to prove a point. It was the LeGarrette Blount show. You can see that in the LeGarrette Blount stats. And the other guys were there. They were productive. They had their role. I'm not arguing that. But a three-headed monster, to use that term, is an absolute joke.
God, I can't wait to prove you wrong after the show when I could look up the Saints stats when they had Pierre Thomas, Mark Ingram, and Darren Sproles.
Yeah, they won a bunch of Super Bowls then.
They won one.
Not with that three-headed monster.
Yes, they did. With their second, third-round pick, the Saints added a linebacker to come in and compete. They spent a lot of free agency, a lot of money in free agency picking up A.J. Klein, Manti Te'o, but they got Alex Anzalone from Florida. He's a former five-star recruit coming out of high school. Pretty much could have went to any college he wanted to, went to Florida. Extremely athletic, exciting, always around the football. The big issue with him is he missed a ton of games in college. Only played 31 games in 4 years at Florida. But when you put this kid's tape on, he is very good. Put that Senior Bowl tape on. This kid stood out. He looked like the best off-the-ball linebacker that was there, and that's pretty impressive for a kid. He pretty much just looks like a crazed Clay Matthews out there with his long hair. I pray this kid could stay healthy, and he'll have a chance to start at pretty much any of the three linebacker spots, Mike, Will, or Sam.
I absolutely love this pick by the New Orleans Saints. Like Tom mentioned, this is going to be a guy who is going to have an opportunity to start somewhere, on the defensive side of the ball. He's the run side. He's the guy that they brought in to counter Christian McCaffrey, to counter Doug Martin or whoever the hell Tampa Bay has going on there, to counter everything that's going on in the NFC South. That is why they brought him in there. He is a run stopper. I love it for a third round pick. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, he just, like you said, he needs to stay healthy. He hasn't been able to do so yet. But if he can, it'll be exciting to see what he can do. And if he can stay healthy, you'll see him out there on every passing down, third down, and long. You'll see him out there all the time.
It's kind of shocking. Saints addressed quite a few needs early in this draft. They had a ton of early picks overall in this draft. They waited to their sixth pick in the draft to address the edge rusher position. They needed more presence and more guys that were capable of getting after the quarterback. I really think they neglected this spot. But the Saints added edge rusher Trey Hendrickson from Florida International. He's a high-effort kid. Did well against a smaller-level talent. But also when he put on his tape against Florida from 2015, really impressive. Kind of made that whole Florida offense just look like they were trying to get through mud. pretty much disrupted everything they were trying to do. He's a player, didn't get invited to the Senior Bowl, which is kind of disheartening, but had a really good combine. He's got a chance.
This is another high upside guy. Yep. Again, I'm liking what the Saints are doing, addressing their needs with, listen, edge rushers outside of those initial obvious picks can kind of be a dime a dozen, right? I mean, you don't ever know what you're going to get. At this spot, pick 39 in the third round, compensatory pick from the New England Patriots, you know, from Florida Atlantic, obviously not a big name by any means, but you look at the tape and Trey Hendrickson potentially can play, you know, have a role here in the 2017 season. That's what you want. The New Orleans Saints are close to, if not having the most drafted players that are going to play right away in 2017. That's why I love their draft so much.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that assessment there, Tim, because you look at top to bottom of their draft, you know, this is a third-round guy, and he's probably going to play, right? You're not going to draft a third-round guy not to play, but you're still taking a chance because, you know, he's not the most competitive conference, but he still gets off the ball. He does what he needs to do, and it'll be interesting to see if he goes out there and, you know, does what he needs to do to be out there on the field.
After the Saints had six picks in the first three rounds, they had to wait till the sixth round to have their seventh pick. They added another pass rusher. In the sixth, they added Al-Quadin Muhammad, troubled kid from Miami, but he was dismissed, had a bunch of off-the-field issues. Kind of a risky pick, but in the sixth round, that's the area that you're targeting these kids that are talented but seem to have issues staying out of trouble. If he gets his head right, this kid will have a chance to make the roster. They are not deep at the edge rusher position, so he'll have a chance. Hopefully, he can buy into Sean Payton's philosophy and scheme and kind of learn from the vets in that locker room and stay out of jail.
This is where I wish NFL GMs would be more like fantasy GMs. Obviously, totally different. They're millionaires. They probably have a high school education, unlike Josh. You know, they're smarter people. I'm kidding, Josh. Don't get so mad. Calm down. I like the fact if your team is filled out, take the guy with the highest possible upside. It doesn't matter what else is associated with him. If he is a terrible human being, if he has a ton of baggage, if he's been hurt, it doesn't matter. Take him and see what happens in 6 months. If he's hot garbage, if he's terrible, cut him. Who cares? And I feel like that's what the Saints did here. I again, another pick that I like. Someone who could potentially be effective. Someone who might be, you know, able to start or have, you know, a couple of runs here in the 2017 NFL season. I like what the Saints did.
I think it's just crazy to think that he hasn't played two out of his three collegiate years. That's just nuts to think. Somebody like that has some of the most physical and athletic yeah. attributes, right? That's hasn't played football at all for two out of the 3 years, and they go, we saw a little bit, and you know what? We saw enough to draft you in the sixth round.
Josh, you read my mind. There's guys out there who have been busting their ass for 4 years, 5 years, if they took a red shirt, been dying, killing themselves just to be on the practice squad of an NFL team, and this son of a bitch has messed up so badly that two of the 3 years, he hasn't been even able to see the field, and an NFL team still saying, hey, you know what? You still have that potential. We're going to take you. If I am Al-Quadin Muhammad, wake the fuck up. Right? I mean, seriously. There has to be something special about him, right? There has to be something there that a team... It's not even like you're one of the last picks. You're a sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
There's something about him. There's something there that you still have the opportunity to change your life because you are that physically and mentally NFL gifted. I hope the best for the kid and for the Saints.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Let's pick our favorite pick out of this draft for the Saints here.
My favorite pick, occurred in the third round. It was running back Alvin Kamara.
Oh my God.
There was a lot of draft experts, a lot of draft gurus out there saying
he's going to be in the first round. You know what happened? I said he should be a third or a fourth round pick, and you know where he landed? The third round. So, just saying.
In my honest opinion, should have been drafted in the second round. The Saints got a steal. They had to give a future pick for him. But this is going to give them that vaunted three-headed monster at the running back position. It's going to help Drew Brees out. It's going to help the whole team of the Nolan Saints.
Well, I will start by telling Tom that you're wrong because there are no three-headed monsters. Because when the Saints won the Super Bowl, it was Pierre Thomas Reggie Bush. So
Mike Bell.
Mike Bell was a part of the three-headed monster. Okay, champ. Listen, like I said, I would have loved the Alvin Kamara pick if not for having to give up a second-round pick next year. That totally – you gave up far too much for one Alvin Kamara. The Malik Hooker pick not the Malik Hooker
Marcus
pick.
Williams.
Thank you. No, I meant to say Marshawn Lattimore. I'm thinking Ohio State connection there. The Marshawn Lattimore pick was the steal of the draft. Him at the 11th overall, he should have been a top 10 pick. He potentially could have been a top 5 pick even. He was daunted as one of the top 2 corners of this draft. It's an absolute steal for the New Orleans Saints. I love it.
Well, Tom, you're completely wrong with the Alvin Kamara thing. He was drafted one round too high. He should have been in the 4th round. No, but seriously, I had him in the 3rd round, and whatever. All these experts saying that he should have been drafted in the 1st round, all that love that he was getting, blew my mind from the get-go. But now that I'm done harping on that, Ryan Ramczyk, he was projected possibly in the upper 25, I believe. And he slides down to 32, and it was more or less an insurance pick, I guess you can call it, for the Saints. You probably didn't know what was happening with Armstead. You didn't know what was happening with Unger. They were just trying to get younger on the offensive line, and it turns out that they actually, looking at it now, would have needed to make this pick if they would have known all that would have happened. So at the time, not the best pick, but now looking after everything else that has happened in the offseason, the best pick for me. So let's move on to the fantasy aspect for the New Orleans Saints. And if I hear you guys talk about Alvin Kamara being a top 30 running back, I may just go jump off a bridge.
I'm sure Tom will, but let's start with the main quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, Chase Daniel. Just kidding, guys. We're going to talk about Drew Brees. He's still got a few good years left in him. What else is there to say about Drew Brees? I mean, he was the number 3 ranked quarterback last year. I don't know what you guys think. I was shocked to see that he had 2 rushing touchdowns to go along with his 37 passing touchdowns. So just shy of 40 touchdowns, over 5,000 yards passing. The biggest number that I saw that I am assuming is going to go down with the three-headed monster that they've added is 673 passing attempts last year. Sweet mother of Jesus. I mean, I know it's not an oddity for the New Orleans Saints, but still, seeing that number, that's insane. Drew Brees is, to me, until he proves otherwise, until his arm falls off like Peyton Manning's did in his last year, is one of the top 3 quarterbacks drafted. Hands down, no doubt about it.
Drew Brees has finished as a top 3 quarterback in 7 of the last 11 years. That's what consistency is. That's why people draft him somewhere between the 3rd and 4th round in most years. He's one of those guys that I would think about drafting a quarterback that early. I'm not a huge proponent of it, but he's worth it.
Yeah, last year was his most recent year, and it was the most pass attempts that he's had in his whole entire career. That 673 number is outrageous. The next closest time that he's gotten to that was back in 2012 at 670 attempts. So, again, kind of like how you said, Tom, Drew Brees, Mr. Consistency. What is going to happen, though, with the loss of one Brandon Cooks? Will Ted Ginn be the de facto replacement? I don't think so. Ted Ginn has never been the guy to put up thousands of yards over and over again and score a lot of touchdowns. Well, he scores touchdowns, but not a lot.
Listen, I know Drew Brees is used to having three-headed monsters in his backfield and running backs dominating the New Orleans Saints offense, but Drew Brees, the idea of mouths to feed doesn't exist in his world. Drew Brees almost should have been a New England Patriots quarterback. He doesn't care. It's always next guy up. He will pass the ball to anyone. He will make everyone a superstar. He made Brandon Cooks. He has now Joe Horn, the end of his career, blew him up. Lance Moore blew Lance Moore up. He has made guys' careers because of how good he is, and he is so humble, you don't ever hear about it. Drew Brees does nothing besides go out there and whip the rock around. That's it. So Ted Ginn Jr., sign me up. Willie Snead, sign me up. All these guys, Drew Brees will make you a superstar. It doesn't matter if he's 50. Drew Brees will do two things. He will throw touchdown passes, and he will put earmuffs on his babies during the Super Bowl because he is a good dad, Josh.
Woo! All right.
That's it?
Yeah. I was hoping
you guys would have a little
more. Let's talk about that three-headed monster.
Well, hold on. I'm looking at his stats from back in 2011. What is that? 5,476 yards passing.
The record.
46 touchdowns. God, that would be a great fantasy season. Just saying.
We'll see what happens. Let's go on to Tom's three-headed monster, because apparently that's a real thing that Tom has now made up. And see, you know what? Here's the problem I have. When I say dumb things, at least I admit it. You're not willing to admit it, and I don't really appreciate that, Tom. But let's move on. They're running backs. Obviously, they brought on one Adrian Peterson, one of the best running backs of all time. They have Mark Ingram, who outside of being a little soft, if you would, that's the best word I can use to describe him, has been a fantastic running back for them. I believe the best year of his career last year in games played, production, and otherwise. And then they added one Alvin Kamara, who Josh loves very, very much. Guys, what are your thoughts on the New Orleans Saints? How in the hell does Sean Payton split this up?
It's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be frustrating to own any of these guys. And personally, right now, I think Mark Ingram is being overdrafted. Right now, he's going in the fourth round. Yeah, last year he was a top eight running back. But now you got Big Dog, the ruler of the yard. The leader of that three-headed monster, Adrian Peterson, is in town. You got Alvin Kamara brought in to steal catches away from Mark Ingram. That's going to be Alvin Kamara's role. They are going to use this kid. And I could see Adrian Peterson stealing goal line opportunities. I could see myself owning Peterson or Kamara, in all honesty, but I will not own Mark Ingram in any league whatsoever. I think the amount of draft capital you have to spend on this guy is way too much for his value.
Josh, I'm honestly, listen, I don't say this often because most of the time I don't like to listen to you talk, but I'm most interested to hear what you have to say.
I actually don't mind Mark Ingram this year, to be honest. Even though Tim Hightower is not the greatest running back in the world, he was very serviceable for his time when he was in New Orleans, and everybody is looking at Adrian Peterson to be his replacement and be even better and possibly be even Mark Ingram, and Mark Ingram now become the new Tim Hightower. I don't agree with that. I don't see it. I think Mark Ingram is still going to be the guy in New Orleans to own, but I mean, honestly, me, I'm staying away from all the running backs. I think Mark Ingram is going to finish above Adrian Peterson, though.
Josh, listen, I hear what you're coming from, okay? I get it. Mark Ingram has been fantastic, but it's not like they're bringing in another Mark Ingram, right? They're bringing in one of the best of all time who, if he's healthy, and Adrian Peterson, listen,
I don't have a lot of love for Adrian Peterson. I don't necessarily even respect Adrian Peterson due to some of his off-the-field issues. With that being said, I love Adrian Peterson's on-the-field mentality. He wants to punish people. He wants to prove people wrong. He wants to be the very best of all time, no matter what. And that is the opposite mentality of one Mark Ingram. And that is why I believe that so many people think that he's just going to take Mark Ingram's role. Because if there's a fight, Adrian Peterson's going to go up here, and Mark Ingram's going to quiver down a little bit.
Well, we'll also see with this not-so-great offensive line as well.
It will be very, very interesting to see how it all plays out. I think Ingram and AP are going to be a 50-50. If they can stay healthy, it'll be much more interesting. And Kamara is going to be that, you know, attempted to catch the guy out of the backfield. If you're in a keepers league, I'm looking to the only guy I would really want, because Ingram and even an AP are probably being drafted higher than I would want them to be at. Kamara, you'll be able to get late. And if you're in a keepers league, it might be genius, because guess what? AP isn't going to be around forever. And if it goes back to just Ingram and Kamara next year or the year after, I love both those guys then.
Josh, I have one last question for you.
What?
I know you hate Kamara. You're sick of me riding him right now. But in a PPR league, do you think he's going to be viable? Is he worth picking up in drafting in a PPR league?
Yeah, I mean, he would be viable in a PPR league. Look at some of the stats last year from these running backs. Tavares Cadet, right? Not the greatest running back, but you know what he was?
Yeah, he's bad.
He was the third down running back that got his check down passes. How many pass attempts did he get thrown his way? 54. How many did he catch? 40. Right. What about Mark?
Yeah, I want to cut you off. I'll let you keep running.
Mark Ingram, 58 targets, 46 receptions. Tim Hightower himself, 26, 22. But I just don't see how Alvin Kamara, of all people, mainly because I hate him, is going to get...
All right, here. So let's go here. Tom, this will make you chuckle a little bit. Joshua, you have stated in our previous episode about the Carolina Panthers that there is no way one Christian McCaffrey is going to get more than 50 receptions.
Yes.
You hate Alvin Kamara. In a PPR league, you have to choose. Who are you taking, Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara? Not for the whole entire future, strictly the 2017 NFL season.
Who's
going to
get more catches?
No. Points. Overall points. Between rushes and everything. According to Josh's.
No. More receptions, I bet you Kamara.
I didn't say more receptions.
I know. I bet you Kamara has more receptions than Christian McCaffrey. Points-wise, I bet you McCaffrey has more points because he's also going to get the rushing touchdowns. Alvin Kamara is just going to bounce off people and not go forward. So,
so you got Kamara at like 85 receptions?
No. I have him at like I'll put him at 50. And I'll put Christian McCaffrey at like 42.
God, I can't wait for you to cook my steak.
Just saying.
I don't know. I don't see your logic there, but we will move on to the wide receivers. And I know Josh has as much as he has a hate at the running back position, he's got some loves at the wide receivers position. Yeah, he's that type of guy, Tom.
That's an understatement.
Yes. So where do we start? Michael Thomas, Willie Snead, Ted Ginn Jr., Brandon Coleman, even I'm gonna throw in the mix. And is Marcus Colston's?
No,
he's done.
I was going to say, I'm like, didn't he retire? They signed him to retire him, correct?
Yeah, they got Tommy Lee Lewis is another wide receiver that they have.
Let's go. Obviously, you know, I mentioned before, Drew Brees, you know, he does not care who you are or what your name is. He's going to throw the football to whoever's open. What are your guys' thoughts on the, and Josh, actually, you be quiet for a second. Tom, let's start with you. Obviously, Michael Thomas is number one. Who are you taking number two for the New Orleans Saints?
I think it's pretty easy. Willie Snead should be that guy. Right now, he's being drafted as wide receiver 37, which I think is kind of ridiculous. I think he's the clear-cut number two in that system right now. And look, last year, they had, two guys in the top 12 with Brandon Cooks and Michael Thomas. Willie Snead, I don't think he's as good as Mr. Brandon Cooks was, but he's still going to get a ton of targets, a ton of looks, and he was quite productive in that wide receiver three last year. So I like Willie Snead as the number two option for the Saints right now.
Yeah, the good thing about Willie Snead as well is that he catches 70% of the balls thrown his way. So 72 receptions on 104 targets for your slot guy, essentially, right, last year. And just a little under 900 yards. That's a pretty good season for that guy. Now you take away Brandon Cooks, who had 1,173 yards and 8 touchdowns. That's got to go somewhere. And I think a good chunk of that is going to go to one Willie Snead.
I disagree with both of you. I do still like Willie Snead.
Idiot.
You high.
I still like Willie Snead because of his role. I don't feel like his role changes at all. I like him right around the 65 to 75 receptions. Like him right around the 850 to 950 yards receiving. And give him a handful of four to six touchdowns. Ted Ginn Jr. is going to fill that Brandon Cooks role. They are the same exact guy.
I will bet you that Willie Snead has more than 75 receptions.
You want to bet me that Willie Snead has more than 75 receptions?
Yep.
Steak dinner bet?
Yep.
Can we do a dual steak dinner bet? I think this is a layup.
Yeah.
Done. We'll set it at 75 and a half.
74 and a half.
You guys, 75 and a half. You guys take, you said more than 75 receptions. So yep. 75 and a half.
75.
I'll make mine 80 and a half. I'm that confident.
75 and a half, written down.
Fair enough. Ted Ginn Jr. is going to fill that Brandon Cooks role to a T. They are the same exact wide receiver. Drew Brees, especially with the addition of Alvin Kamara, will have other places to look. Michael Thomas is still his go-to guy. And Willie Snead is going to be the wide receiver number three. Ted Ginn Jr., if healthy, is going to be the second leading receiver on this team.
You are high.
Okay.
I do not agree with you whatsoever. Yeah, he's going to be filling that speedster role that Brandon Cooks was. But him and Breeze have no rapport together yet. Yeah, they've been throwing the football around in shorts right now. And Ginn has struggled throughout his whole career catching the football. Josh brought up that stat that Willie Snead catches 70% of the balls thrown at him, which is a very high number for a receiver. He has built trust with Drew Brees, and Ted Ginn doesn't have that right now. Ted Ginn is the far superior wide receiver to own in fantasy.
Well, you just said that Ted Ginn is the far superior wide receiver, and I agree with you. He is the superior.
I misspoke.
I know you did, but I like that. If it was me, you guys would have trashed me way more, so I'm going to go ahead and take my wins when I can. Agree to disagree. Over under 75 and a half. Actually, Tom gave me 80 and a half. Yep. So we'll take it at that.
Some of the percentages for Ted Ginn catching the ball in his career, 57%, 46%, 53%, 52%, 57%.
But that's not what I'm arguing. I said that Ted Ginn was going to fill that Brandon Cooks role, and he was going to be the number two wide receiver. I'm not saying he's not going to drop balls.
You look at his history. Look at his career. He has not had a season more than 790 yards receiving. He hasn't had a season more than 56 receptions. I don't see how he catches 72 balls, and I don't see how he puts up more than 1,100 yards. I just don't see it.
But you are not understanding the argument here. Yeah, I'm not saying that he's going to blow up and have 80, 90 catches. I'm not saying that he's going to have 1,200 yards receiving. I'm saying he's going to fill that Brandon Cooks role enough that Willie Snead is going to remain where he is. Willie Snead's role is a good one. It is one that is needed, but... And to be fair, the 75 and a half is a great over-under for him, in my opinion, because that's right where he's going to be at. Really, our bet could go either way. I just don't believe he is going to blow up and have that dramatic increase that everyone else is predicting just because Brandon Cooks is gone. It's just the quote-unquote Michael Thomas show. I don't care about rapport. Drew Brees doesn't care about rapport. You can see that throughout Drew Brees' career. He doesn't care. There's no rapport needed. He throws the football around to whoever's open. And guess what? In the NFC South and on the New Orleans Saints, Ted Ginn Jr. is going to have not have to deal with all the pressure on him as a number one wide receiver anymore, like he was in Carolina, because Michael Thomas is going to take away all that pressure. He's going to be able to get over the top. He's going to drop some footballs, Josh. Not saying he's not going to, because he's had that problem throughout his career. But he's going to have some big, big games, and him and Willie Snead are going to be much, much closer than you guys are anticipating.
You know what I look at Ted Ginn as? Almost like how they used Kenny Stills when Kenny Stills was in New Orleans.
Yep.
That's what I look at. So I don't see him as replacing Brandon Cooks. I see him as a basically what Kenny Stills was. And yes, that was a couple years ago, but it's pretty much what he's going to look like.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Next up.
Move on to tight end a little bit. Colby Fleener. Obviously, an addition for them there. Where was Colby Fleener at last year? Number 15 overall, so just outside of a number one ranked tight end. Majority of him being even top 15 is two games, week three and week six last year. 220-plus games. What are you guys' thoughts on the New Orleans Saints and their tight ends?
I was super high on Fleener last season. I thought he was going to be one of those breakout candidates. He was going top eight in most leagues based on ADP. And I was super high on the guy. He was one of my breakout players for the Saints. The way he played, though, last season, it was rough. But that's what happens when a quarterback and a new receiver don't have a good rapport together. They let you down. Fleener was pretty successful with the Colts. He is a pass-catching tight end, but he was by far the worst tight end the Saints have ever had statistically since Drew Brees has been there in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's why they brought two tight ends over in free agency as well. I believe they still have one Josh Hill, and I believe Colby Fleener there now. Now the two additions that they have, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. So, again, I don't think one person is going to replace Brandon Cook's numbers. It'll be spread out, and you'll have some more targets towards Kobe, some more targets towards some of the new acquisitions that they had in free agency. So, we'll see what happens. I would stay away from him in fantasy this year. I'm not. Unless if you're a believer, if you think Kobe Fleener is going to be the guy to benefit from the loss of Brandon Cooks, then so be it. But you better be high on him, and you better be expecting big things. Me, personally, I'm not.
Tom, you said quarterbacks have a problem, you know, developing a relationship and scoring touchdowns with a new wide receiver. I believe that's what you just said?
I said it happens occasionally, and that's what happened last year with Fleener.
You didn't say occasionally. You brought that up on the tight end position, but how did he fare with Michael Thomas last year?
They were fine.
They had how many touchdowns?
12.
Nine touchdowns. Okay. Together. So, I mean, you know, so the wide receiver position, you know, it's not really awkward for Drew Brees to have a new wide receiver who he's not used to go out there and have some great production, right? Josh, I believe you said, was he a top 10 wide receiver last year? First time Drew Brees ever played with him for a full season?
Yeah.
No, okay, he was. All right. Just want to make sure that was thrown out there.
Can't believe you're trying to compare Ted Ginn to a Michael Thomas.
I'm not comparing Ted Ginn to Michael Thomas. I'm comparing Ted Ginn to Brandon Cooks.
Still, that's outrageous.
It's absolutely not. We will see this year.
When's the last time Ted Ginn finished as a top 32 receiver?
When's the last time that Ted Ginn has had the opportunity to be the number two wide receiver with one of the best quarterbacks of all time? Never.
Well, we'll see what happens. I think you're dead wrong, Tim.
Yeah.
But that's just my thought. As much as I like Ted Ginn, I like him. I don't see how he replaces the Brandon Cooks production.
If you look at the style of game that Ted Ginn plays and Brandon Cooks plays, it is obnoxiously similar.
You know what all I gotta say is take 80 of the targets Brandon Cooks got last year. Let's just give it to Michael Thomas. Take 30 out of the 78 receptions, give it to Michael Thomas, and give me half of those yards. I'll be happy. It would never happen, but I'd be a happy fantasy owner.
Brandon Cooks, 5'10", 185 pounds. Ted Ginn Jr., 5'11", somewhere around that. Ted Ginn Jr. ran, I believe, a faster 40 time than Brandon Cooks at a 4.28. They are the same exact player. Ted Ginn Jr. has just been... Ted Ginn Jr.
So, you're on the Bears. All right? You own the Bears. You have a trade. You have Brandon Cooks, and you have Ted Ginn Jr. Who are you going to take? Oh, I'll take Ted Ginn Jr. No, you wouldn't take Ted Ginn Jr.
Am I saying that they're the same player? I never said that Ted Ginn Jr. was better than Brandon Cooks. I said that they are the exact same style of player. And the Chicago Bears are a terrible example. My point for this with the New Orleans Saints is that they have one of the very best quarterbacks of all time. And someone like Ted Ginn Jr., who has over exceeded his expectations and his talent level in a place like Carolina where he shouldn't have because there's no other wide receivers there, is going to excel in a situation like New Orleans. Drew Brees has proven it time and time and time again. And why you guys are trying to doubt and diminish his value, I don't understand.
We're going to disagree to disagree on this one. You're wrong, so we're going to leave it at that.
Ted Ginn has been in the league for 10 years. This will be his 11th season. 32 years old. Tim, has he ever had over 60 receptions?
No, he hasn't. I said that.
Tim, has he ever had over 800 yards receiving?
When did Ted Ginn become an actual wide receiver?
I'm just asking.
Over the last 2 to 3 years in Carolina.
No, his leading yards total was in 2008, his second year in the NFL. So you saying he just became an NFL receiver the last few years is completely false.
Okay, we'll see.
There's just something about you, Tim.
Just amazes me you think he's going to come out and be a world beater.
I don't think he's going to be a world beater. I think he's going to be an asset for Drew Brees and that New Orleans Saints offense.
All right, well, let's move on to the rankings. Where do we have the New Orleans Saints finishing the year record-wise?
Saints are a sleeper for me. God, I'm going 10-6. Tied for the lead in the NFC South.
That's a pretty good record there, Tommy. I'm looking at their schedule now.
It's tough.
Yeah, they don't have an easy one. I have them closer to 9-7. Not far off. Listen, they're very good, but that young defense still scares me a little bit. And having the Patriots at home, Vikings on the road to start off the season on Monday Night Football. The Vikings defense obviously is very, very good. They play the Packers on the road. Obviously the Falcons are in there. Yeah, I think 9-7 is a fair assessment.
I'm going to go with 9 wins as well. Actually, I'm changing it. I'm going to go 10.
You would, dickhead.
Because I'm going to have the Atlanta Falcons when we do that episode. I'm going to have them drop down.
So am I.
Yeah, so I'm going to have them at 10 wins. And, I hope Drew Brees throws for over 5,000 yards. And 46 of those touchdowns go to Michael Thomas. And I'd be a happy person. So that's where I got them. I do not have them winning the division, though. And they are not tied for the division lead.
I agree as well. They are not winning the division.
So, anything else, guys? You want to yell at Tim about anything else?
No.
You done with Tim?
Yeah.
He's pretty mad.
I've had enough.
All right. That's all we got for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Again, please check out the other ones that are coming out later on. And our previous episode that we just did, which was the Carolina Panthers. So, going to continue on with the NFC South. Hope you guys have a good night. Again, we are Pony Kick Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Kick Sports, at Pony Kick Tom, at Pony Kick Tim. And you guys can email us, ponykicksports@gmail.com. Check us out on our website, ponykicksports.com. Check out our buddies on their website, cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at cleatgeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles and all that good stuff. Tim, go ahead.
And make sure to follow them. They have the 2018 midget qualifiers going on right now, so make sure to check out. They had the 200 meter going on as well, so check that out.
The midget qualifiers?
Yeah.
The
200 meter.
Well, that's interesting. We'll be sure to look out for that one. All right, thanks a lot. Have a good one.